Welcome back to this class on, so you've been asked to speak. You've been asked to give a devotional. You've been asked to preach. How do you do that? We've looked at the various kinds of messages, how you can get messages from God, where you can get messages, how to come through connections, through your heart and your mind, through Bible study, through a variety of ways. Now, we talked about introducing your message in a meaningful way. And how do you introduce it in such a way that will grab people's attention? Now we're going to turn to the subject of organizing your message. In other words, how do you bring order to it? I love this sign. If you were approaching this sign, you'd say, whoa, I don't know where I'm going or how I'm going to get there. I worked for a while with a man who was particularly bad at the organization of a message. In fact, you never knew where you were going. There weren't signposts along the way. In fact, it's one of the ways I refer to it in the larger class on this. You know, signposts that can tell you where you are and where you're going so that people can, you know, track with you in the message. Well, this guy was particularly bad about that. And I happened to be out for lunch with a member of that church. And, he began talking about his pastor and how he, would sometimes just get people lost. They were so lost, they would start tuning out. Well, this guy had been a detective, and he said, I realize how we got to do that. And he began taking the implements on the table, and he used a salt shaker. He says, if I say there's a clue here to what we're about, and there's a clue here when I'm a detective trying to solve a crime, there's a clue here, there's a clue here, there's a clue here. So pretty soon I start seeing what the center is. But most people didn't have that skill of a detective, and so they were lost in his messages a great deal. And so, if people can't track with you, if things are jumping around, if things are like this sign that they won't take all the loops with you. And so you've got to find a way to organize the message in such a way that people can track with you, that they follow the signs along the way. Now, this is a quote by Yogi Berra. If you're not an American, you probably don't know who he was. He was a famous baseball player from years and years and years ago. He was a brilliant player. After that, he became a coach. But he was most known for saying, crazy sayings that made no sense. Like, for once he said, "If you find a fork, if you come to a fork in the road, make sure you pick it up." What does that mean? Well, here's one of his sayings: "If you don't know where you are going, you'll end up someplace else." Now, so the organization of the message is for two primary reasons. One of the reasons is so that you know where you're going, that you know where you're going to end up, that you're building a message to make a point. Now, the best part of organization usually is a sermon that has one major key point to it that you really want to emphasize. And so the organization will hover around that point in some way, shape, or form. We're going to talk about various ways to organize it. But that's to help you as you formulate your message to make sure you're making the point. But it's also for the people who are listening to you so that they can say, oh, I understand. I understand that this is a turning point. I understand this is a transition. I understand, okay, this is that point and this is how this other point relates, etc. That's what organization is about. Now, there are a variety of ways to do organization. In my generation, will function a great deal with linear organization. In other words, you do an introduction, you've got point one, you've got point two, you've got point three, and they're all aiming toward a conclusion, which is asking people to pray or to give or to whatever, and that's a linear organization. Now, my children tell me, my children who are, I'm part of the boomer generation. They are the next generation after that. They tell me that that's not the way people always think nowadays, that they tend to think in a more scattered way, but this is a good way for you to be thinking of your organization of your message, that you've got a point, and all these points relate to it. Now, here's an example of what I'm talking about. A great passage, Romans 8, 31 through 39, is about the love of God. And so the major point here is that the goal is to help people understand the love of God. And in the text, this is an exegetical message, one of the points that's made is God's love is greater than sin. It's greater than our past sin. It's greater than our present sin. God's love is greater than circumstances. Now, there are challenges to God's love. I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor demons, nor things present, nor things to come. But none of these things can undo God's love. And then God's love is greater than Satan, than spiritual powers, than Satan's strength. You see, there are these three points that are all related to the subject of God's love. How can I make God's love come across to people? Well, this passage is a great one for that. And if you organize it in a linear way, you're following the passage and hopefully opening the door for the Holy Spirit to break open new understandings of what that is like and what that means. Now, there are other ways of organization that are just as effective, sometimes even more so, depending on your culture. One is the flower organization. You'll notice that the center of the flower is the main point. In other words, this is the point you want to make. And then around it are these petals. And so each petal represents a style of thought. In other words, you're thinking about that main point, but then you take off on kind of a tangent and you go around a loop, but you always come back to the main point. Now, in the African-American tradition, this is a powerful way of organizing sermons. Some of the most powerful preachers I've ever heard will use this as a means of organization. E.V. Hill from years ago, he's not with the Lord, but I remember a sermon by him at a Promise Keepers event where he just talked about the fact that he was invited to go with Jesse Jackson on a world trip, and everywhere he went, he could get in because they said he would just say, I'm with Jesse. And he began to say, we're with God. God's with us. We've got an open door. It was a powerful, powerful message. Now, to give you an example of this, I'm going to play one of the best known of these in my country and in my youth. So it may not be quite as relevant as what you think it is, but a man named Tony Campolo, who there's a picture of him. He was a professor at Eastern Baptist Seminary for many, many years. And he talks about it's Friday, but Sunday's a coming. And I'm just going to play that for you. It's just about a 6-minute clip, I think, a 5-minute clip. And just get this idea of the flower organization that he's following.
I came in. About 5 people said, are you going to tell that famous story? I've made my whole living on one story. They invited me here just to tell one story. It's about my home church. You've been a very good audience. But you're not like my home church. I belong to an African-American church in West Philadelphia. I didn't join it. It was a white church. But you people all moved in on my neighborhood. You kept on moving in, and all the white folk moved out. And we were the only white family left. My father wouldn't leave the church. He had donated the offering place. We weren't going to leave him to you. And it's fun to preach in my church. It's been fun here, but not like my church. My church is about this size, but the deacons sit right up front. And every time you say something good, the deacons yell, preach! Preach, brother, preach! I would have done so much better if my deacons had been here today. And the women in my church, when you say something good, they do this. They wave in the air. They go, well, that's all. Just, well. You say, that doesn't sound like much. You get 50, 60, 70 women going, well, your hormones bubble. And the men in my church, when you are, as my pastor says, when you've gotten down, they actually stand up and they point at you and they yell, keep going, man. Keep going, keep going, keep going. I don't get that from white people. White people do not yell, keep going. They yell, stop, stop. Once a year in my church, we have this preach-off. You don't even know what they are. That's when you get about 7 or 8 preachers and you preach back to back to see who's best. You never say that. You say it's for the glory of God. But we know what it's about. And people, it was my turn. And I got up, and I don't want to brag, people. I don't want to brag. But I was good. I mean, I knew I was good because women were going well and men were going, keep going. And the deacons were yelling, preach. And I feed on that stuff. The more they did it, the better I got. The better I got, the more they did it. I kept getting better and better and better. People, I got so good, I wanted to take notes on me. And when I finished, the place exploded. There was cheering and clapping. And I sat down. My pastor hit my knee. He said, you did all right, man. You did all right. I said, you're next, pastor. You going to be able to top that? He said, son, sit back. Because the old man is going to do you in. Now, people, I don't want to knock it. But I was so hot that day, I didn't figure anybody could do me in. That sucker got up, and for the next hour and a half, he did me in. With one line, just one line, over and over again. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Doesn't sound like much, but you weren't there. He said it was Friday. Friday, Jesus was dead on the cross, but that's because it was Friday. Sunday's coming. Somebody yelled, keep going, keep going. That's all he needed. He took off. Friday. Friday, people are saying, as things have been, so they shall be. But that's because it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. Friday. Friday. The evil giants, the dark giants we've been talking about today, they rule the world, but and they think they're in charge. But people, I'm here to tell you, it's only Friday. It's only Friday. Sunday's coming. Now, I thought I'd get a little more out of you than that. I think we got to de-honkitize this crowd here. I'll give you one more shot. A bunch of folks meeting at the fairgrounds in Pretoria in the name of Jesus cannot change a nation, cannot turn history around, but I'm here to tell you, it's only Friday! 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 Sunday's coming! People, he had us going. When he finished that sermon, I was totally exhausted. I still remember him ending by yelling, it's Friday! And all 2,000 of us in that church yelled back, Sunday's coming. And that's the good news. When we are people with mission, when we are people who are inspired by the love of Jesus, when we are willing to take the realistic step for economic development among the poor, when we are willing to be realistic in this world, the world will change. And it's got good news. And the good news is here for you to declare. I want to hear it from you, people. I want to hear it from you. The good news is this. It's Friday, bud!
Wow, that's an experience, isn't it? Unfortunately, I couldn't find the video of that, so I just played the audio for you. But you can imagine the power of that. And all he did was use this flower kind of organization, his pastor, flower organization. The main point was, of course, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. There's coming a day when Jesus is arisen from the dead and there's a power that's at work. So don't despair. It's Friday, but Sunday's a-coming. Now, next time we're going to continue with other kinds of organization that you can use to bring your message to people in such a way that they will track with you and that will keep you on task in your message as well. So we'll see you next time.